Shyamala Sridhar's friends, we are continuing our previous discussion at the wonders of the Lubavitcher Rebbe as we get closer to his 28th Yahrzeit. And this is based on an interview with the mythological, today they say that a lot in Hebrew, a mythologi, the mythological gabbai, whenever you want to say someone was really important make it more dramatic, say mythological. Anyway, there's no myth involved. The great gabbai, Rav Lev Groner, and he tells what, you know, from the inside, actually an excellent sefer that came out from the interviews with the gabbaim of the Rebbe. Amazing. Just to see what's going on from the inside. Everyone knows what's going on from the outside, or at least we hear stories, but they were on the inside and they all had yiras covered for the Rebbe their whole lives. Amazing. You get to know somebody for decades. You think, all right, you're ready, I feel comfortable with him, but they never lost their tremendous yiras covered for the Rebbe. So, there are many amazing stories about the Rebbe and Israeli politicians. So, 1 year, this year's one. 1 year, Moshe Sharet calls up Rav Groner. And he tells him that he's a messenger of Mishelis Yisrael, coming to America, special, to ask the Rebbe about a certain problem that developed in the government, and the ministers of the government don't find a solution how to extricate themselves from this very complicated problem. And therefore the Rosh HaMemshela, the Chavrei HaMemshela, sent Mr. Sharet as their personal messenger to the Rebbe. Maybe the Rebbe has a solution to the problem. This phone call was received on Wednesday. On Thursday, he was already supposed to leave the United States and return to Eretz Yisrael. So the Rebbe was maskim, and he received a yichidus, a private meeting, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, immediately that day. Normally you get with the Rebbe a meeting on the same day. It's impossible, it's Maisa Nisan. But here, I guess the Rebbe understood that this is no get to the entire state of Israel. So he allowed for this special yichidus to take place immediately. When Mr. Sharet left the yichidus, he goes into the place where the secretaries were sitting in their office, and he said, bespilus, with wonder, to Rav Groner, Rav Groner, Rebbe Yoshev beBrooklyn, Yodeh Hitev Mana Asad Slenu Meachorei HaKlaim. Rabbi Groner, the Rebbe, is sitting in Brooklyn, and he knows what's going on by us, behind the curtains, behind closed doors. He related the following. He said, Mr. Sharetz, that when I went in, I told the Rebbe the problem, and the Rebbe smiled, and he said, what, for such a small thing, you have to fly overseas? He took apart the problem, he analyzed it. That was between the Misrada Shikun and Misrada Pnim. The Ministry of Construction and Housing of Israel, and the Ministry, the Internal Ministry. And he made it seem so simple, like the solution to the problem, that Mr. Sharet felt like a little boy. Like that, you know, this person is explaining to him something that's, you know, any adult with a half a brain can understand this. What's wrong? What don't you get? I mean, the Rebbe obviously didn't make him feel bad, but he explained it to him very simply, how to deal with the problem. So when they concluded, Mr. Sharet wanted to leave. And the Rebbe asked that he stay a little bit more, and he said to me, since Bashkacha Pratis, you're here, I want to make you a shliach to two other ministers in the government. And the Rebbe said, since there's a debate between them, dispute between them, and the Rebbe said what the dispute was, We have to solve this problem. We have to make peace between them. And then the Rebbe gave Eitzes how to do it in the best possible way. So Mr. Sharet said that these two ministers have no connection to the Rebbe. Even they were Chabadnikim. No Kesha. And not only that, but only them and me, we know about this debate. Therefore, Mr. Sharet said that the Rebbe is sitting here in Brooklyn and he knows what's going on by us behind the curtains, behind closed doors. I heard a similar story about Arik and Lily Sharon that they went to him also. Lily Sharon came out of the room, Arik's wife, the famous Ariel Sharon, and she was like blown away. How does the Rebbe know what's going on? The Knesset, behind closed doors. A very interesting case where the instance where the Rebbe was Paul Yeshua with a matzav afikomen. The Rebbe always left some of the matzav afikomen of the Seder at the school for the rest of the year. So one day in the summer, the Rebbe goes to El Kodesh Pnima, and the Rebbe says to him, in the closet, there's an afikomen of Pesach. Take a piece of it, and wrap it up. And the Rebbe gave him an address in Bombay, in India, in order to send the matzah there with speedy delivery, express delivery. And he added, after you send it, call up the family and tell them that since I received a letter from them that their mother's sick, the doctors don't know how to help her. Therefore, I sent this afikomen. And when the matzah comes, I should make sure that she should taste it. The mother should taste from the afikomen. And since it's brought in the Zohar HaKadosh that matzah is made for the asfisa, it's food of health, the Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send her a refuah shleima. So, of course, immediately, he called up his family in India, Bombay, and he spoke to the daughter, as the Rebbe told him, explained to her what to do with the matzah. After 2 weeks, the daughter calls back and tells with great emotion that when the package came, they put some crumbs in the mother's mouth, and immediately there was an improvement. So I told her to keep doing it. And in fact, after a day or two, she regained consciousness, and after some time, she returned to complete health. Similarly, there was a chassid that lived in Crown Heights, called up a label, and he said he needs immediately a yechidus. I wonder how many times over the years Rabbi Label heard that. Immediately I need a yechidus. I can't push it off. The label said, come Thursday night, and I'll try to put you on the list. So he comes, goes into yechidus with his wife. They're in there for about 15 minutes, and they go out. Number of days later, a person calls up and he says, let me tell you what happened and what was the why it was so dachuf. He started to tell. Number of months, my wife is in a deep depression and we wanted to deal with the depression with various medications. Doctors, psychiatrists, nothing helped. Yom, matzah got worse and worse. And he was afraid that his wife is going to hurt herself. And I knew that we have to go into the Rebbe and ask for an eitz and a bracha. Before we went in, I wrote down the matzav on a piece of paper explaining what's going on. During the yechidus, the Rebbe said to me there, down below, and he points to one of the shelves, there's a bottle of wine. And in Shabbos, I make Kiddush on it. And there's the becher that I use to make the Kiddush on, the Kiddush cup. Bring me the Bring me the battle and bring me the becher. So the person did what he was told to do. Takes the bottle of wine, takes the becher, puts it on the table. The rabbi tells him to pour some wine into the becher, till the tap. After he does so, the rabbi turns to his wife and he says, take the Kiddush cup and make a bracha so that I can say amen and then drink from the Kiddush cup. She made the bracha. The rabbi said amen and she drank a little bit. The rabbi told her to drink the wine till the end, not at once, but little by little till it's finished. And the rabbi said, I have time. Drink a little bit now. 2 minutes, 2 minutes, a little bit more, then a little bit more. And when you're finished, you're finished. This whole story took about 15 minutes until she finished all of the wine in the cup. And then the rabbi gave her a bracha and he said, Zai gesunt v'siras tovus. The chassid explained to me, he said, Reb Leibel, why he's calling only now? Because when he returned from the Yechidus, immediately they saw an improvement. But he didn't know if this was just temporary or not. Turns out, within a few days, it was as if nothing ever happened. She was completely back to herself. A certain Askin from a different Hasidus from Eretz Yisrael told Rebbe Leibel about open Ruach HaKodesh that he saw by the Rebbe. So this is when this person went into Askanus and went into doing work for the cloud. And one of the elder Hasidim in this Hasidus told him, why are you doing Askanus? Yeah, you have free time. Learn. Learn Gemara, learn Poiskin, learn Chassidus. What are you busy with Askanus for? So he was confused. Didn't know what to do. Maybe he should leave the Askanus and in his free time, learn. So his custom was, every time he'd come to New York, he'd be going to Yechidus, or at least he would daven with the Rebbe. One time he comes to 770, everyone's in Mila Mincha, and he thought that if he goes into the Beis Medrash, the Rebbe's not going to see him among the whole community. And therefore he'll stand in the Prozdar, he'll stand in the in the waiting room where the Rebbe passes by. The Rebbe passes by this room, this Prozdar, and then he'll see him. The Rebbe will see this chassid. So when the Rebbe passes, he nodded his head, goes to the door of his room, opens it up, and tells the chassid to come close. So the askin gets closer to the Rebbe. The Rebbe says to him the following, that in the Talmud Yerushalmi, there are two shittas with regard to the personal learning, the private learning of Askin Tzarechet Tzibur. The Rebbe said that somebody who's misasik baskonos tziburis, he has a haftacha, a tairosoi mishtameres. According to the other shita, it's misbareches. It's either going to be preserved or it's even going to be blessed. His Torah is going to be preserved or it's going to be blessed. So therefore he said, you have to continue with your askanas. Continue with your askanas. It's in Yerushalmi, it's a good thing. And the askan was blown away. He said, I didn't tell anybody what I was thinking about. The Rebbe took a look at me. Baruch HaKodesh, he told me exactly what the answer to my question was. My my conundrum. Amazing. 1 year, the Rebbe was going out of his room to the to the room of the secretariat of the Maskirut in order to take the mail. The Rebbe, we know he has answered tens of thousands of letters. And the Rebbe stood there with his friend, another one of the secretaries of Nissim Mindel. Rebbe comes in and he asks the label, "Have you heard anything about Pliny, about his daughter? You hear anything from Pliny about his daughter?" Talk about a girl who's 5 years old. She had to undergo a very complicated surgery. And the parents wanted a bracha from the Rebbe. And the doctor said it's a very serious case. And after the operation, the Rebbe wanted to know what the matzav was. So Reb Leibel answered the Rebbe that bedik that morning. A letter came. Shakolas tadera latzad tov yapiyase. The Rebbe turned to Reb Mindel, Nissim Mindel, with a large smile, and he said to him something in Russian. When the Rebbe left the room, Reb Leibel asked Reb Mindel, "Nissim, what are you hiding from me over here?" And Nissim smiled, and he translated what the Rebbe said from Russian. What he said in Russian was, the label will say that it's my moifus, and I say that it's a moifus of the shver. In other words, the Rebbe used to spend a lot of time davening at his shver's tzion, the Rayatz's kever. So here you had a matzav, everything worked out perfectly with this girl, as well as could be after the operation. And he said that I guess when Reb Leibel heard the Rebbe speaking, he heard the word label. He just didn't know the rest of it. So what the Rebbe had said was, label's going to say that it's my moishes, but it's really the moishes of the shver, of my shver. What's amazing about the Rebbe was that even though he led this tremendous Chassidus, so many thousands and thousands of Chassidim, besides guiding so many hundreds and hundreds of thousands of other people, if not millions, including Goyim, and yet he lived the Pashtus, Bitsina. The furniture in his house was old furniture. The kitchen was very, very poshut. Like an old abandoned kitchen from 100 years ago. When they wanted to do shiputzim, when they wanted to do renovations, the Rebbe wasn't masking b'shul panim v'ayfim. Chavalo ala kesef. What can you do with the money? You can use the money to bring Yidden closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what you can do with the money. I'm not so sure that everybody has this attitude. The Rebbe was sitting shiva for his rabbitzin. So people came to his house. Gedoli admirim v'aravonim. There were some admirim who left the house. They couldn't believe how the Rebbe lives with such pashtus. One of the admirim even called up a label afterwards. He said, "Had I not seen with my own eyes, I wouldn't believe it." Such a big leader. And he lives so simply. Eating also. Especially during the week, that we barely ate. He never washed the tilsi daim for a su'udah during the week. He never ate meat or chicken during the week. And if the Rebbe did eat something, he did eat something. There were a few little pieces of fish. During the day, the Rebbe barely ate anything. After Shacharis, the secretaries would give the Rebbe a cup of tea, a little bit of cake, so too after Mincha. The only time the Rebbe would eat regularly was at night, and he would have more of a normal meal. But again, without bread, without Til Sidayim. After the passing of the Rebbetzin in 1988, the Rebbe would stay in his room. He wouldn't go back home. So then he would go back home. He had a wife, but now there was no wife to go back to, sadly. So he would stay in his office in 770. He wouldn't go back to his house on President Street. So Reb Leibel would give him his dinner. And the Seder was that after the Rebbe finished the meal, he would press a buzzer, and then Reb Leibel would come in and take out the meal. So one night, the Rebbe calls, presses the buzzer, the zamzam, and Reb Leibel sees that the Rebbe only ate a little small piece of the fish that Reb Leibel had brought in. I wonder who prepared the food. Maybe Reb Leibel's wife, maybe Reb Leibel himself. Reb Leibel would bring it to him. He'd be the waiter. So he thought that the Rebbe didn't have managed to eat yet. Maybe he had some important response he had to give to somebody. So you wanted to understand, maybe the Rebbe is busy, he finished the meal, he didn't finish the meal, what's going on? So the Rebbe lifts his eyes, and he asks Reb Leibel, what are you waiting for? So Reb Leibel said, maybe the Rebbe wants to finish something. The Rebbe said, I'm finished my meal. And then Reb Leibel, with Aziz, said, Kanara Rebbe achal ktsat, it looks like the Rebbe only ate a little bit. And the Rebbe answered, today I ate a lot. You can imagine what the a lot was. He eats a little bit of tea and cake for breakfast, a little tea and cake for lunch. And then for dinner, he's supposed to have a normal meal, and he barely touches it. He says, Hayom achalti harbe. That was on a regular day. In Shabbos, the Rebbe would wash until Sidayim, eat more than a kezayis, fish, soup, meat, and then that kompot for dessert. And somehow this is mevor, the Sifrei Kabbalah, that this is keneged shem havayah. Dagim, marak, basar, bakar, v'liftan. On Shabbos day, when there was a Fabrenian, till after Mincha, the Rebbe didn't eat Suda Shabbos. And also in the summers, when the Fabrenian finished at 5:30, the Shkia was at about 8, the Rebbe didn't eat until after the Fabrenian. Another interesting thing is that by the Rebbe, there was no fire in his house on Shabbos. You know, Chas v'Shalom, it wasn't a karoi, but the oven was off. No hot water. They would prepare a thermos for the tea in advance, and the Rebbe only drank from the thermos. The Rebbe didn't want there to be fire in the house because he was choshish mishum bishul. And therefore he didn't need chillant, because chillant is on the fire all night. He didn't want there to be a fire. He was choshish. There was a lot of chasheshes of bishul. So he wanted to just stay away. There shouldn't be any bishul, even b'shogeg. And you say there achila of the Rebbe, one could say the words of Chazal and Rechina ben Doisa. Half churvin mishabbos to Shabbos. Also, kol shneisav hayar Rebbe koishi yashen balelis. He would barely sleep. The Rebbetzin once said she doesn't know once that the Rebbe slept more than 3 straight hours. In one night. That was like his limit. 3 hours. Even before he was Rebbe, the Shver said about him, he's never sleeping at 4 in the morning. Either he hasn't yet gone to sleep, or he's already gotten up. So this is a just an incredible Mani Yisrael, and obviously these are just a few scattered stories and insights into his life, but there's so much more to say. So Mr. Shem, we have a wealth of material, so we'll hopefully continue in a future share. And thank you so much for listening. Shalom, shalom, sweetest friends.